I speak to you in the name of the living God, blessed Trinity, and lover of your souls. Amen. To your neighbor, it looks like you're just mowing the lawn. To your spouse, like you're simply doing the dishes. To your children, you're mindlessly vacuuming the living room rug, but that's not what you're really doing. Or at least these menial tasks are not the activity that truly holds your attention. There's a war raging within you, an imaginary dispute on repeat in your thoughts. Role-play arguments of the mind, where you face off that person who vexes you the most. He said, she said, I said, they said. Your opponent may be a real person, or it may be your own critical voice from inside your head. I'm talking about those arguments you have with yourself, with the one who will not listen, and the one who does not change their mind, or the one with a malicious vendetta against you. In some seasons of life, this may be a daily occurrence, and in others, an occasional one, but we can all recognize it, what psychologists call rumination. Rumination. That internal encounter where you defend yourself to yourself in an unsolvable quarrel against your imagined opponent, playing out a fantasy conversation as you trim the bushes with a smirk, dry the pots and pans with a snarl, suck up the cobwebs with a victorious sweep of the arm. But after the day's internal fanfare and bravado are through, different versions of the same conversation return the next day and the next, until they leave you curled up in a ball on your bed in the middle of the afternoon. This is where we find Job today, as he ruminates in our Old Testament reading. Job has lost his belongings, his health, even his children. And the Hebrew text defines his state of mind as defiant, his thoughts as bitter complaints. Job's mouth is filled with arguments against an invisible adversary. He says his opponent cannot be seen no matter where he looks. He perceives the one he strives to dissuade as hiding in shadow, hatching schemes to ruin him. Job argues his defense on every side to no avail. His antagonist does what he wants, and this fills Job's heart with dread. Rumination. In its simplest definition, it's deep thought. But in psychology, rumination is defined as negative thought, and it's a sign of mental distress. Research shows that those who ruminate are less satisfied with their lives. Rumination is so insidious in part because it's so addictive. Those who ruminate feel compelled to do so. Their thoughts take them in a downward spiral of negativity. Rumination is a placebo drug that never does what the packaging promises. It is not required of us. And that is, I think, the hardest part about it to accept, that we take it by choice, and it is only by choice that we can give it up. Rumination serves no helpful purpose. We do not need to do it because it occurs when nothing in our environment requires it. Job's fortune and family are already gone. There is no argument that will bring them back. And still, he argues. Rumination leaves us stuck in past irresolution and the anxious anticipation of future suffering, Prolonged rumination is linked to PTSD and substance abuse and depression and suicidal ideation. Reading up on rumination this week was like reading a page out of Job's journal. He tells us in today's text that he would rather vanish into darkness than live another day like this. Job is the Bible's perfect example of the negative ends of rumination that make us unproductive and anxious and hopeless. So, how did Job get out of it? And how do we get out of it? Well, there's a psychological phenomena known as the Zeigarnik effect. It tells us that it's easier for human beings to remember our failures rather than our accomplishments. We focus more of our attention on our hopes deferred rather than on the hopes realized. Rumination is so deceptive because it deludes us with the fantasy that we can make the impossible possible, imagine our past failures or future fears away. But we cannot. We cannot. And when we spend our time and our energy in rumination, we have very little time and energy left to focus on the present things we can control and the goals we could meet. I found at least three steps to Job's process of rumination that align with contemporary strategies for ridding ourselves of it. The first step is distraction. Distraction from the ruminations. Now, Job's friends were well-meaning. They sat around with him. They dug into the depths of his pain, inquired as to how he might have brought this calamity upon himself, and made suggestions for what he could do better in the future. But at some point, Job realized he had considered all this. He had thought all he could about why bad things happen to good people. And so he finally decided to listen to what God had to say about his experience of suffering rather than what his friends had to say. But to Job's surprise, unlike his friends, God didn't directly address any of Job's concerns. Instead of diving deeper into Job's problems, God breaks open the heavens and offers Job just a glimpse of the bigger picture. There is more to clean in this life than dishes and area rugs. There's more to prune than grass and bushes. Job is invited to look at his own soul, to decide what needs cleaning and pruning within himself. There is more important work to be done in the world than what can be accomplished within the four walls of our homes or even in our own backyards. God distracts Job from his individual concerns, helping him to see that suffering is not the only present reality. Other things are happening. Even now, there are mountains emerging from the core of the earth. There are planets dying and being born. There is a delicate balance of water being poured onto the earth and evaporating to the heavens, allowing every creature to live. Though Job is stuck in one thought, all creation is still moving. There is life outside of this moment that Job can't let go of. All he must do is reach out and grasp it. Job could take up yoga, or he could go on a weekend biking trip with the boys. He could attend a party and meet someone new. He could make plans and goals and choose to build a life beyond the life he lost. And that's the second step. Job must recognize that what is broken, and it cannot be fixed. No number of imaginary arguments, No amount of rumination can change the past or write the future. All this time, Job was seeking answers to why he had lost what he lost, when the real answer he needed was simply that what is lost, and there is nothing that can be done about it now. Once Job accepts this, accepts that the past is done, he opens himself up to creating a future. Job's third step is to choose to live a new life. In the final chapter of Job, he admits to God that he was imagining things he did not understand, that he sought answers to meaningless questions. After seeing that big picture from God's perspective, Job repents of his ruminations. He prays for God's grace, and God answers. The last sentences of the last chapter of the book read, "And the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then there came to him all his brothers and sisters and all who had known him before, and they ate bread with him in his house. They showed him sympathy and comforted him for all the evil that was brought upon him. The Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginnings." Job gave up his rumination and made a new life with God's help. And so can we. In the end, ruminations are private narratives we unwittingly use either to bully ourselves or to prep ourselves to bully others. The only ones privy to these imaginary conversations are ourselves and God. God knows and sees the traumas we've experienced, as well as the pettiness of our egos and the failures of our characters. And yet, Job's story tells us that God remains with us through all of that. Every ugly rumination, every concern of the past we can't let go of, each moment of learning to trust God in the present, even into a resurrected life. That's what this story of Job is about. Resurrection on the other side of death. So the next time you catch yourself in the middle of some household chores that are really just a front for rumination, remember Job, who for time immemorial has exposed his private thoughts, not just to God, but to us, that we might see what too often we cannot see, that God is with us through all the suffering, and unto death, and unto resurrection. We're all human, and we need that divine perspective to distract us from the absorbing struggles of our individual lives. Amidst the difficult changes and chances of life, God, who is love, remains unchanged, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's eternal light draws us out of shadow and leads us into the life we were always meant to live. The next time I choose to ruminate, I want to ruminate on that.